for this morning comes from the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 18. Would you please stand as you are able for the reading of God's holy word? And hear now the greatest story ever told. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went in the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a piece by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scriptures, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their house. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head, the other at the foot. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be a gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that she had seen these things to her. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
There's a little boy in the back of the sanctuary sitting with his parents back there, sweet little boy. And he put this Easter egg in the offering plate when it went by. And he put inside this Easter egg his money, because he wanted Jesus to have his money. And that's as strong an Easter sermon as anybody could ever preach. So you come be a member of my church if you're not already. And if you are already, you get the gold star. Did Easter kind of slip up on you this year? Well, it slipped up on me. It just did. I was in the church every day, and we were talking about Easter, and it seemed like every day we did something to move toward Easter, but I thought we had more time than we did. All of a sudden, it was there. We were absorbed with where we going to sit them, how we going to fit them in, what we going to do about traffic. Without the sanctuary, there was a host of concerns. How do you have Easter without the pipe organ? I think Bill did right well without the pipe organ, don't you? What are we going to do? What about the room? And all of a sudden, Easter was here. I didn't even call to see if my children were coming to eat lunch with me. And there's a pile of them. And so I called Friday and said, "I'm assuming since Maddie has prom that y'all are not coming." She had prom on Saturday night. And she made it here today, even having prom last night. Good for her. And Matt said, "No, we coming." So then I called Mark and said, "Matt's coming." Y'all coming? Yep, we all coming. How many of you? All of us. And boyfriends. Okie doke. And I was glad I didn't do a thing in the world but go to Cracker Barrel and buy it. And I handed Matt the receipt when he came in this morning and said, stop by there and get it. There's paper plates at the house. Y'all start and I'll be on. They know me. They knew I wasn't going to cook. I think it was the distractions of what's going on in our crazy world. The time change made it hard for me. I mean, the time just now changed, right? And the weather's been terrible. It was warm one day. It was cold the next day. It was raining and gray. I think maybe it was the weather and what's going on in our crazy world. I think maybe my not being ready for Easter and wanting to stay and wallow around a little while in Lent had something to do with my grandson Canaan, because he was leaving for Bahrain, for Saudi Arabia. And I didn't want him to go. And I couldn't stop the United States Navy no matter how hard I tried. He was going. So I was kind of happy to wallow around in Lent. And I just wasn't quite ready for Easter Sunday morning. I think the terrorism in Brussels had something to do with that. I don't know about you, but I had this immediate sinking feeling that I was there with them. I remember the 9/11 things. I remember the Boston bombing. I remember Paris and the news when it came. And I thought, what in the world? It's just not quite time for Easter. Then Alan stopped by my office one day and he came in and he said, can I talk to you for a few minutes? And I said, sure. And he closed the door. That's never a good sign. And he said, I had an eighth grade young woman ask me a hard question. And Alan is like most teachers. They don't get credit for this, but it's true. He wanted to thoughtfully, carefully answer that hard question he had been asked. And he came and he said, what do you think about this? The question she asked him was this: why do we really need any kind of religion? And wouldn't it be better if we didn't have any world religions of any kind? Then she followed that by a statement. You see, if there were no world religions, she decided, then there probably wouldn't be any wars. She's partially right. But I said to Alan, very quickly, I said to Alan, neither would there be any hope. And then I thought, wow, that's true. And Easter was knocking on my door. Suddenly, I was ready for Easter. I was excited about Easter. I was glad we only had a few days of Lent left. Yippee. It was almost Easter. Let me see if I can explain it this way. Brussels, right now, and rightly so, is scared. Do you remember just a short time ago when 9/11 happened and we all got scared to fly? And then they put in all that security at the airport that makes us now just dread to fly. And I went to a Braves game not too long after that, and I remember having to take, I always take my own concessions to the Braves game if I'm going downtown. They're too expensive. I can give that money to the church. And I had to take it in a clear bag because they were checking all the bags when you were going into the stadium. I remember the anxiety of gathering in a large crowd. I remember the Peachtree Road race that year. And when I went to walk that Peachtree Road race, I began to look around and say, now, where would I go? I don't think I'm the only one. And it's a pity to me that our children grow up in a world where they do those things automatically. We didn't grow up that way. Some of us were really scared then, and some of us still are. More than scared, we are scarred. Paris, the USA, and several other places in the world, scarred by terrorists. Because of those scars, we can put our arms around Brussels and say, we know how you feel, and we can be in solidarity with them. And that becomes sacred. And the same letters appear in all those words. It just depends on how you arrange them, what they say. Henry Nouwen, and if you were a student at Candler, you would pronounce that Henri Nouwen, wrote a book entitled The Wounded Healer. And he talked in that book about Jesus and how his woundedness makes him a healer of our wounds because he has experienced those same emotions and hurts and fears and dreads. When he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was scared. He was human in his humanity. He didn't want to do what he knew he was being called to do. After the crucifixion, he was scarred. And now, he is sacred. All because of his sacrifice, we are a people of hope. We are a people of hope. We are an Easter people. We are a people of tomorrow, no matter what. There is always tomorrow. No religion? I can't imagine a world with no religion. No Jesus? Where in the world do you find hope if there's no Jesus? I asked a bunch of youth a long time ago when I was still working with youth. I think it was Jeff the other day asked me how long I was a youth counselor or director or pastor. And I began to think about that and counting the time I was a youth myself, about 60 years. That's how long. I love the youth. People love the children. As soon as they get to 13, they can do nothing right. Same children. I like them when they get 13. And I remember that this young woman whose mother had died, she was only 15 and died very unexpectedly out of the clear blue sky. Her mother just died. She and her husband had been out to walk and she came home. She went to the bedroom to get ready for bed and he was going to unload the dishwasher and he hurt her when she fell. The children were there. And I asked them. I gave them chalk. I gave them pencils. I gave them colored pencils. I gave them crayons. I gave them Play-Doh. I gave them construction paper. I gave them anything they needed. And I said, I want you to draw or make something that represents God, that looks like God to you. Will you do that for me? And this young woman, this is what she did. It's in my file. You can see it. She took a piece of paper and she drew a circle and then she drew that diagonal line that means no parking, no smoking, no whatever. And then she wrote the word hopelessness across there. That's what God looked like to her in the middle of her grieving for her mother who died unexpectedly. I'm so thankful for Jesus. I'm so thankful for Easter. I'm so thankful for church and so thankful for family. I'm so thankful that I cannot keep my house pristine because my grandchildren run in and out occasionally. That's what it was built for. So today when they spill something, nobody get excited. It's just something. We'll wipe it up. I'm so thankful that there's life around me. All of us have, and if we haven't, we will, stood beside a hole in the Georgia red clay under a green tent with some funeral home's name embroidered on it and left that place knowing it wasn't the end but the beginning of eternity. We are the only religion in the world that can do that because we serve a risen Lord. because we have a living God. Because God put on skin and came to earth and walked with us and lived with us and coached us and loved us and endured for us. We are a people of hope. Because we have a God that died for us and rose again, we are a people of a living God. Now, you can say what you want to. Easter sort of snuck up on me this year when I wanted to stay in Lent and grieve a little bit, but Easter came knocking on my door, and I'm so thankful for it, because I don't care how many terrorists attack, they will not overcome the God that I serve. Evil will not prevail. I don't care how it looks to you. Evil will not prevail. It's already been defeated. The Bible tells us, and I believe it. When Jesus came to earth, he was the light. And the darkness cannot overcome it. Cannot. That gives me peace about the future of my grandchildren. That gives me, I can't tell you what kind of peace that gives me about the church. Jesus is alive and well. Jesus is with us no matter what. Brussels will rise up. Paris rose up. The United States rose up. Our world is not a terrible place. It is God's creation. And I am here to tell you that because he lives, we live. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, we too will live eternally, forever, and those we love. And so, to this eighth grader, and to the doubter, and some of the doubters are sitting right in this room. They only came because their wife made them, or their husband made them, or their mama made them. I know. I got you. To the skeptics who say this is sort of a fantastic tale. To the down and out and the depressed, and to our children and our children's children, it is Easter, and that means we are a people of hope. It is Easter, and that means there's always tomorrow. It's Easter, and that means death, sin, evil has been defeated, already done. It is Easter, and it is time to celebrate. Amen.